lie. I be rolling with you, mommy. I be feeling the motion. When I'm inside you, I be deep as the ocean. When it comes to your love, can't lie. It be strong as a potion. That's why me and you forever be coasting. Let's roll.
Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. Yeah. She so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. I'm your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation, y'all. And y'all know what we do each and every week. Me and the crew, we get up here and we chop it up with some of the world's most interesting people. And as I like to say each and every show, I'll open up the show with thank you, of course, gratitude, of course, to all of you guys out there that download the audio version of this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere that you get your audio version of your podcast. Thank y'all so much. We appreciate y'all, man. Each and every week, the number just continues to grow, and that's so dope. And even
Bluetooth disconnected.
Even
Bluetooth connected.
Even those of you guys that are, I don't know what happened just now. It's just a bunch of stuff connecting, disconnecting. That's just technology. But listen, so those of you that's following me on Facebook and stuff like that, or any of the social media platforms, y'all been seeing, like, I've been posting, like, periodically once a week, I've been posting the growth of the show. And I only feel it's necessary to do that because, like I said, you know, it's one thing to give people thanks for coming on and supporting the show, but I also want to let people know at the same time that be coming on that, listen, even after you come on the platform, I'm still going to promote you. I'm still going to make sure that I'm going to do my part to help get the word out. And I think that's the most important. We understand the power of social media, right? And how you can actually really pick up traction and change some things on social media. But what I think is that the whole viral mentality, it's almost like how they say in boxing that Mayweather messed up boxing. Not so much that he made everything about how much you need to, you know, fight for in order to pick and choose who you fight, but I think more so about the fact that he has a zero on his record. So any fighter that has one loss or something like that, they consider it no longer good, but they can have a perfect record. And then boom, as soon as they suffer one loss, now they're no good no more. Now nobody wants to, you know, and it's terrible that you have to be that way. Like, you can't never understand, like, sometimes it's okay to lose or fail, but then pick yourself right back up and get it going, right? Because that's the main thing that you want to do when it comes to something that you feel passionate about. You don't want it to die down, even if the people around you are not as enthused about it as you are. Because that's what I find out about what's going on with a lot of the parents that come on the show. Like, people are dealing with things that's not as recent. Some of the things that these parents are dealing with are things that has happened now over years ago, and they're still fighting. And every now and then, they feel like, dad, yo, I'm the only one still fighting. I'm the only one screaming the name out. I'm the only one, you know, still trying to figure out what's going on. Everybody else is going on with their life. But that's what happens whenever you put yourself in a position to say, yo, you know what? I'm going to tell my story. And you find a platform and people allow you to tell your story. And then after you tell your story, they still help you move your story around. Like, we got to remember, if every day somebody see it, that's a new person that's seeing it. All it takes is the right one person to see your story that's similar or know what they or already been through, what you've been through, and know how to maneuver it. And bam, there go your information you need, and bam, there go your justice. So sometimes we look for the moments in the viral moment, but sometimes we got to realize you got to walk up the steps. You got to get there. So look, when it comes down to it, I empathize with people. So yeah, even after the show, I'ma still promote you. I know some of you guys are not getting nowhere with your cases. I know some of y'all are feeling frustrated. Some people are anxious. Some people are feeling like it's no, they're hopeless, but they're still fighting. Just know, everybody has to figure out their purpose. I'm not saying what happened to you and happened to your family is what you are desired to find your purpose, because nobody wants to go through that. And then being insensitive, that's what that would be, right? But let me just tell you right now, your purpose is not to lay down. I could tell you that. So if you know your purpose ain't to lay down, then you shouldn't be offended by what I'm saying, right? So look, we got a young lady that's going to be on the show tonight. Her name is Courtney. And then listen, I'm going to let her come on. She's going to tell y'all exactly what's going on, because the story is absolutely crazy. It's, you know, I like, look, I'm not going to lie. All right. So look, growing up in the North, there was a certain thing that you get taught. I know there are certain things that you get taught based on where you live at. This may not seem like nothing to y'all, but it was something to me. We were taught how to cross the street. All right. Because there were no front yards to play in. We played football in the middle of the street. We did all of these things. We played, you know, we played hockey. It wasn't hockey, but we had the tennis ball and we had the joints and we would play that. Like, this is what we did in the middle of the street. I'm just going to be honest with you. Yeah, we had parks and all that other stuff everywhere, but, you know, it's a lot of snow that take place up north in the wintertime. And during those times, you know, bam, nah, we did the street. They can't really drive like that. So, look, we in the middle of the streets playing. But regardless of that, as a kid, we are taught how to cross the street. I mean, it's a thing. Just like how people are taught how to walk, how people are potty trained, we are taught how to cross the street. Period. It was like we had grown-ups out there like, all right, bet. Now you see how this is coming? This is what you do. And then here, when this happens, you stay here. If you see them starting to ease around, you stop. They taught us how to cross the street because where we lived at, you're going to walk. It's streets everywhere. It's cars everywhere. And all kind of things happen at every time. So as a child, you were taught how to cross the street. It was just like teaching you how to tie your shoe. And I understand depending on where you're from and where you're raised, there's different things that take place, right? Or as far as what they teach you. But man, this story is crazy. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. We all understand what accountability is. Everybody knows what the definition is. If you don't, you know, get that Google going. Because accountability is something that a lot of people are looking for. They have to deal with the laws, but they can't deal with the person walking around like unaccountable for what they did. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to bring her up in a little bit. She's going to tell her story and we're going to get into it. You know what I mean? Because like I said, you got to pay attention to all signs, y'all. Y'all got to pay attention to all signs. Remember, if it could happen to you. All right, bye. Let me see. We got Meek in the building. Let me see what's going on in her world. Meek, what's up, y'all?
What's up? Happy Tuesday.
I can dig it. I can dig it. So look, how was your week?
It's been good. It's been busy. I'm loving it. It's been a good week.
Hey, listen, I love when weeks get busy. I mean, they go by pretty fast. You know, people say, yo, don't do that because you wish your life away. But at certain times of the day, depending on where you are, you pretty much want that to go ahead and hurry up.
Yeah, like I can get to bedtime and dinner. You know, like those are my favorite times of the day.
Funny, yo. Sleep and eat.
Yeah, God,
that's so funny. That's so funny. Well, look, so tonight, okay, so we still in this. We help impacted families, man. You know, we want to continue the movement. We want to make sure that, you know, people get their voices heard. We don't have a news station of our own. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have a place that we can call or a place that we could go to and say, "Yo, listen, I need to get this information out because people are not listening to me. They're not hearing me over here." You know, and then you got to be careful with a lot of these platforms too, because a lot of times people just want clickbait.
True.
You know, so they'll get, you know what I mean? They'll get you on the show and then
Bluetooth disconnected. Bluetooth connected.
You'll be sitting up here talking about, hey man, I don't know what's going on with my. Did you hear that? Like,
did
you hear that? Yeah, it's disrespectful, and we live. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
It started when you went live. I was like,
no, like why? I don't get it. Like everything is weird around. I guess they know what's going on. But look, we're gonna bring her up real quick, right? Because like I was saying in the intro, man, this one is crazy. This is more of what happens as a pedestrian.
Oh.
And, you know, that's why I was saying, like, in the beginning, the way we grew up, we were taught how to cross the street as a thing.
Yeah, I was thinking about it when you said it, and I was like, yo, that was a big part of my childhood. Like, even walking, if you had to walk in the street because there's no sidewalk, like, which side of the road you should be walking on. And it's, like, engraved in my memory. Like, I know if I'm ever walking, Like, there's rules. Like, there's pedestrian rules, for sure.
Right. And I think that for most people, you know, if somebody's not going to pay attention, it's definitely not going to be the person that's walking. Now, I understand where it comes down to, like, you know, people being their phones or, you know, that type of thing. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, the one thing somebody not going to do is just walk out to just get hit if they got their phones and stuff like that. So being a pedestrian is almost like when things happen. Now, I have seen situations where people have just came out of nowhere, you know. Like, I've seen those things, too. Like, let's be completely honest. Sometimes people do not pay attention. Yeah. But then there's times where, you know, depending on where the area is and how busy it is, oh, no, 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 no. You don't got no choice.
Like, exactly.
This is one of them areas that, no, listen, a car is going to come. You don't get the just be not, you know, oh, I'm not going to pay attention. No, you got to pay attention. You're going to get across the street, but you got to pay attention. So
yes.
I mean, common sense is common, right? We're going to see. But in so many instances, it's a thing that happens, you know, right? And then who's accountable when those things happen, right? We have a car on. A child was killed by a train. And the arm of the train did not do its job. And then now who's accountable? Now they don't want to be accountable.
But it's
they're just saying, hey, you know, hey, it's a thing. You know what I mean? Y'all gonna have to figure it out. And it's like, yo, but ain't you going home to your children? Mine is not coming home no more. You want me to just take it as a thing? You know what I mean? So people don't want to be accountable for the things that happen to other people until it happens to them. And I think that's corny. So we got our guest. We get ready to bring her on. We got Courtney. She's getting ready to come up and, you know, tell her story, man. Because I think it's important. I think it goes right along with impacted families because, hey, disrespect is coming from all levels, y'all. You know what I mean? So let's see what's going on in her world real quick. There she go. How you doing, Courtney?
Fine, you.
I'm good, y'all. Good to have you on the show. All right. So first of all, when we get started, I want you to do the honors of just introducing yourself to the audience and letting everybody know a little bit about what's going on and why you're on the platform tonight.
Okay. My name is Courtney Tompkins. I'm the mother of 5 children, but one of the children was killed. Quenisha Lachey Ball was hit and ran over and killed in DeKalb County, North Decatur, Georgia, November 17th, 2022. I had got the call while I was at work that from a social worker, and then the doctor came on and told me that my daughter was in an accident. So immediately, even when the social worker called me, immediately I knew my daughter was gone because my daughter was very responsible. No one would call me but her. So I knew my child was gone, but I thought maybe she had got somebody raped her or attacked her. I didn't think anything about crossing in the crosswalk or she got hit by a car because, like you said, she was raised here in McKeesport, PA. We had no car. So, you know, she was taught to know how to cross the street for years. And actually, before I moved her to Atlanta in 2021, Quenisha lived up top of a hill and walked up and down 5 o'clock in the morning with no sidewalks and was able to get public transportation. So she knew the in and outs of how to walk and cross the street on busy highways or no busy highways. She knew that. So the day, you know, I got that call at work, and then when I got home, the detective called me and basically blamed my daughter. He blamed Quenisha. He said, yeah, the driver's never not always wrong, and only Quenisha and the driver was there on the scene. So in my mind, I was thinking, oh, my God, thank God somebody was there to comfort my child. You know, that's in my mind.
Right.
And so once the day going on of this reality that my child was killed, you think, well, wait a minute, did they do a drug test? Did they do an alcohol test? You know, so I called him back immediately, the detective, because I wanted to know that. And he told me, oh, no, it was 6 o'clock in the morning and he was on his way to work. Well, so was my child. My child was walking to work for that year and a half to the same route that she was going for a year and a half to catch her Emory shuttle. So why wasn't that important? Like, so immediately I just said there's something wrong, you know? So make a long story short, I got a lawyer who was not a good lawyer, but somehow he got this body cam. And I don't know, so he didn't give me the 911 call. He didn't give me anything, but he did get this body cam. And all he said to me is, it's very disheartening and I don't think you should watch it. And if you do, you need to take it to the public. I said, well, I have to watch it, you know, because things are not adding up. My daughter's phone was left at the scene. Somebody else found it. That's how we found out the ball got rolling with her manager. They had my daughter as a Jane Doe. And if you look, that didn't have to happen because on a body cam, they're telling the other officers that my daughter's phone was at the where it was, and they never picked it up. So a stranger found it 2 to 3 hours later. And that's how the ball got rolling with her manager, because she never called off of work. So they were concerned. Now, this is my daughter, only been around a year and a half. So that shows responsibility. That shows independent. You know, right. She's going to come to work on time. So watching the body cam, they lied to me about everything. When I say they, I mean the police, DeKalb County Police, and I mean the EMTs. Because there was people on the scene. There was actually somebody that jumped out and gave CPR to my daughter. Oh, wow. Yeah, because she almost ran her over. I don't know if someone actually ran my daughter over more, because the driver hit my child and never stopped and kept going. He said it himself on the body cam. I went to the gas station. So I had to come to Atlanta, find out where the gas station was. He went 6 lights down. Like, I mean, you left. You just went straight on. You hit my child and you just left. And then you came back around and sat on the sidelines and said nothing. So it was proof that he did not render aid or call 911 and he left the scene, because the lady who gave CPR, no one was there. So wow. That meant the driver wasn't there, you know? So those were valuable moments that my child could have been saved. So once the sergeant comes, he doesn't even ask the person who gave CPR to my child or the witnesses was there, their name. He told them to go home. They tell them to go home. Who does that? Wow. You got a badge on. Who does that? I don't even understand. So you told them to go home, and then you proceeded to move evidence on body cam. Move my daughter's body, her book bag. You just did everything to mess up the crime scene. Wow. You let people run over my daughter's evidence, all my daughter's hat, her shoe, everything was sitting in the crosswalk. So that tells me that that's where you hit my child. That's the main part where you hit her, and everything flew right there. The police ran over it. One of the cops were over top of mine, and another cop said, is that a shoe or a hat? And start laughing. They laughed about that. One cop says, it doesn't matter, she's going to die anyway. Who does that without being held accountable? They told me, oh, come look. She split open like a potato. Come look at her body. This is what they're saying. This is the police and the EMT. All this time they're doing this, they could have saved my daughter's life. So if why I'm here on this stage is to say, this is not the first time. This is somebody else's child went through this. Somebody else's loved one went through this. You know, that believed the police, what they told them. They took for, you know, these are the people that's supposed to protect her. So if they say to me, my daughter was in the wrong, then I'm going to believe that. But I knew my daughter. I knew my child. I knew my child was independent. She was a hard worker. You know, she was going to work on time. She literally just told one of the workers, you can't walk across the street because that is a dangerous, you know, it was 67 lanes of highway. So she gave her another route. So my daughter is going to protect one of her coworkers and not protect her own life. You know, she worked two jobs. If it was, if she felt she couldn't get that across that street in safety, she would have got an Uber to the Embry. You know, she knew she was responsible. Right. She was taught. She loved her life. And right. this driver and the EMTs and the police just dismissed that. They just devalued my daughter's life. And they got to be held accountable for that. They got to hold accountable for that. And I will say this, the neighborhood that it happened in was a nice neighborhood. But the problem is, it's profit over people. So there was no safety measurements that should have been there. There was no cameras, as they say. There was clearly on the body cam, Dunkin' Donuts came out and said, we have the Dunkin' Donuts footage that shows the light. He came through, and when he hit my child, that's nowhere on file. Wow. No one went to the Dunkin' Donuts to get the video. And I didn't find out about that until months later. So they dismissed that. So I've been traveling back and forth, me and my family, to Georgia because, you know, I need accountability. I went straight to the commissioner's office. I went to a meeting with someone here that her name is Fawn Montgomery. She helped me and I did fight, and we got two cameras at that intersection and 7 more seconds to go across that street. Now, mind you, my daughter ain't allowed to see that. My daughter ain't allowed to see that. But this same community is not backing my child. It's not backing my child. And the reality of that is, when I came down there just this, the beginning of March, the reality is, it's because they didn't want her in there anyway.
Right.
They didn't want black and brown in there anyway. So that's all. They don't care. They don't care. But they just made a whole post about a dog being missing and rallied together as a neighborhood to find this person's dog. But my child was left on the cold ground in the middle of the street to get ran over on Scott Street from many cars. And no one rallied about that. That's a problem. And it's a problem. It's a problem in the United States. It's not just Georgia. You know, it's not just Georgia. It's everywhere. But they gonna know today about moms.
Yeah, we know. Hey, listen, all the moms ain't playing right now, y'all. And I also wanted to say, yo, like, you know, it's crazy too, because which don't make sense to me is that, you know, with that being such a busy highway and cross section, if that was a thing where it was just about, it would have been more than one car there. It would have been more than one car on the scene. It would have been more than one possibly in this scenario that with her, this accident. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have just been one person. That was total neglect probably on that driver. Well, I can't say probably, because at the end of the day, y'all said y'all have a certain footage now. Whenever the whole thing come about. So is it an open investigation and stuff right now?
Oh, no, they closed it in 2 days. They closed my daughter's, before I got to camp, they closed it. They blamed her. They just said she darted out in traffic and we only can go off the driver's word. This is what, so I was appalled. So once I got the body cam, I filed immediate attorney affairs. I went to attorney affairs on that because it was disheartening to see, you know, it really was. You already killed my child. And then my child could have been life-flighted. She could have, anything could have happened. Y'all didn't have, no one had no urgency to save my child's life. No. And you don't always want to bring race into it.
Right.
Okay. You don't want to always bring that. But they my child didn't matter to him, mattered to nobody, because she was black. She was a black woman. That's why my daughter laid in that ground, cold as ever, and they were discussing why she had an Apple Watch. What did that even matter? What did that even matter? None of that mattered. Let's start saving lives here. Right. And then you let the driver sit in the car that he killed my child with. Who do we all know? And the first thing people would probably think, oh, is he white? No. You know, no, it was black on black crime. He was black. And so immediately I asked him, is there any kind of pedestrian awareness groups or anything in Georgia? He told, Detective Poole told me no. So that was a lie. That was a lot. I got connected to Atlanta Propel, but I'll tell you what they did. They connected me to somebody in Australia. When I sat down in my basement and I asked my partner, I said, can you look on YouTube and let's try to find if there's some connections to see if anybody else got killed in that section. I found Brittany Glover's mother, Valerie, who lost her child in September. Why wouldn't you connect me with her?
Oh, wow.
Why wouldn't you connect? You're connected. You're working with her. Why are you connecting me to somebody in Australia, even though they helped me good, you know, because I found the drivers. We found the driver's record. He had multiple traffic violations. He has went over in other areas, other lanes. He had so many traffic violations, and you didn't arrest him. And you didn't arrest him. Y'all didn't do no press conference for my child to say, is anybody out here that maybe seen this accident? They did none of that because they thought I didn't, you know, she's in Pittsburgh. She's not from Georgia. So we don't give a damn. They didn't give it. Well, they're going to give a damn. They're going to give a damn about mine because I don't want this to happen to any other family. I don't, because it's the worst.
Right.
It's the worst to know that people think that an animal is more important than your child.
Right. But hold on one second.
That's the worst. That's the worst feeling ever. It's horrible. It's horrible as a mother. It's horrible. And it's all connected. It's all connected to police brutality. It's all connected. Because if they would have did their job, we might not be here.
Right.
We might have, what happened? We know people who's got killed for less. And he didn't kill. Anytime there's some fatality, how did the person not go to jail or get arrested and be questioned at the police station, at least, to see if his story's adding up? He told you he went down to the gas station. He told you he left the scene. And I don't know if you're familiar with Scott Boulevard. That's what he had plenty of times to he had plenty of times to U-turn. He had plenty of times to call 911. He went straight. You know why? Because he was going to leave. He was going to leave. He clearly was going to leave. Something made him come back, you know, but it was too late. You know, it was too late. You let my child maybe get ran over again. You know, you left her there and he needs to pay for that. But guess what? If you get a good lawyer, that could be thrown out because they moved evidence to police. It shows you how careless they are on these videos. Is people were running, driving through the crime scene, and one of them smelled like mad weed, you know, and the police officer's laughing. They're laughing. Oh, you know, you can't. I smell the weed. I smell the weed, but go ahead, because you rode through a crime. So you let some, so how do we not know he wasn't impaired? It was the same time, you know, like, I know people who smoke before they go to work, you know, so it's just, that's where I'm at now. Like, they got to be, things got to change. You can't just be killing pedestrians and that's just it, or hitting bikers and that's just it, because my daughter's life, Quenisha Lachey Ball's life, was valuable.
Right.
She enjoyed life. She traveled. She worked in a cancer institute to make other people comfortable in their time of hurting.
Right.
You know? So I'm not going nowhere. my two feet, boop, boop, on the floor, on the ground, and ready to march for justice for my child and any other adult's child who has been, you know, killed.
Right.
By my daughter's blood is on the police's hands, as well as that driver and that EMT.
That's crazy. And I was trying to ask you earlier, there was no no traffic cameras in that area?
Oh, there was. They never called them. They told me there wasn't any from the beginning. This is what Detective Poole, because what happens is Detective Poole was the last one on the scene. So all the other people that was on that scene never communicated with Detective Poole about all the things they did. So when you look at the body cam, there's an officer who's coming to the sergeant on the scene and handing him a number to say, this is the number to the lights. This is the number for the video at the Dunkin' Donuts. And the sergeant says, well, it doesn't matter. She got two broken legs. Her body split open. It don't matter. That's what he said. One of them went to chicken filet and went and got something to eat while my child was laying on the ground. They got something to eat. You know, with the sergeant, Mrs. Romo's, the chief of police, when I asked her that at the commissioner meeting, she tried to make an excuse. I said, lady, you can't make no excuse. I seen it on body cam. And she said, you got the body cam? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So you can't lie to me. You can't come up with no excuses. I don't want to hear that they're short staffed. That's out the window too. I don't want to hear that. That same union that keep getting these cops to kill people should be the same union to get their police some more money. I don't know what to tell you. Because at the end of the day, everybody on that scene put their badge on and punched that clock to come to work. So they had a duty to do, to protect and serve. And they did not do that day. And they didn't do it for Brittany Glover. And they didn't do it for Neil, who got killed 2 years ago. They didn't do it for many more. What we seen on that video is what they do. Right? If we do something and we continue doing it, that's because we're comfortable with it, right?
True.
We know ain't nothing gonna happen. They can't sue me. We're untouchable because we have power. We're the police. So you'll do anything. You know, and guess what? We got power too.
Exactly.
We got power too. We just got to learn how to stand together because we don't. We don't stand together.
Right.
That's the problem. That's why they want to break stuff up when we do. But we got to learn you can still stand together to get justice and show them we're just as powerful as you.
Exactly. And you're right about that. That's one of the main things that we talk about on the platform all the time is about, you know, we can all say to ourselves that we're fighting, but it's way better if we can all fight together. And then for those people who can get into it before it happens to them, it may not ever happen mm-hmm. to them, right? But just mm-hmm. being there for other people, just knowing that it could be you, is a means of saying, like, you know, we're going to join together with you in this thing because, like I said, you just named out a few other people. Now, was these people that you named out, did they get killed in that same intersection or just throughout Georgia itself or that county itself?
So Brittany Glover and her mom is Valerie. Brittany Glover was killed in September in 2022, and she was killed by the bonfire. She was leaving out the bonfire and a car hit her and they left. So she doesn't even know who killed Brittany. But she still stand behind people to help fight, even though she's lost her only daughter. Neil is the people I have connected with in Australia. He was foreign, but the school paid for all his schooling and everything, and he was hit in front of Georgia Tech. And there's a camera that shows that the driver hit him, ran the red light and was speeding and hit him and his other college mate, killed him. But and the other college mate was wounded really bad. So those parents had to travel 25 hours from Australia to come to Grady Hospital, not being treated right. And they had to cremate their child. See that no one talks about the after effect of that. You know, I was told I couldn't even come down to Atlanta because my daughter was already in a morgue. So, and my daughter was a Jane Doe at first. So, you know, no one tells that. So to even, they told me, oh no, you can't come down here because you're not gonna be able to see your child anyway. She's in a morgue. What? So I had to wait 7 days for my child to get here because it was around Thanksgiving. So it was like a wait. A weight gain for my child. So me not knowing, I'm thinking, okay, so is somebody on a plane with my daughter? You know, she's safe? You know, like, is somebody guarding my daughter's body? you know? And I had to learn my child was in the back of the airplane with luggage. She was cargo. Now my daughter go from being a successful woman working two jobs, traveling to the back of a plane with luggage because of some careless driver. Did I make any sense? That don't make any sense. That don't make any sense. So that from the door was $10,000 just to get my baby from Atlanta to here. So those are the things people don't talk about. For people who do come to Atlanta, there's a lot that goes on from losing your child being killed or losing a child or a loved one out of state. I'm still dealing with stuff. And the driver's just, oh, promoting. He's got promoted in Frito-Lay. He was at Pet. He wore his Pepsi uniform when he killed my child. So I called Pepsi. Hello. You know you got somebody to kill somebody? Wow. That's working for you? That's not trying to be spiteful. That's trying to be aware. You can't promote him to drive a truck when he didn't ran and killed somebody. Do you know that? You know, that's so is, you know, and I called one more thing before we even get done. I will tell you, I did call because I've been calling. I'm learning a lot of stuff. And I called the DA, the victims part of the DA. And I said, you know, I have a problem and I just need help. I need help. Right. And I told her that they didn't get the videos from the Dunkin' Donuts. You know what she told me? She told me, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry they didn't do that. But what I will tell you, all you probably could do is probably be to give awareness for pedestrians.
Whoa. And that's it.
It's all profit. It's all profit because you know why? They got this Atlanta Propel. They get money to say, oh, they want to keep, oh, we get this money from, this is what's happening to pedestrians. This is what happened to rest. They're getting hit. We have to fix the roads. Roads ain't killing people. Roads ain't kill my daughter. The road didn't pick up and run my daughter off and leave her to die. That was a driver. So you giving money to these organizations is not holding people accountable. And they're not even helping families. They're not even helping us. So when we got to come down there and try to get justice and try to get answers, there's no help. You know who's helping each other? Other mothers who has lost their children.
Definitely.
They try to hold themselves up and then try to hold somebody else up because no one else is there to hold us up to go through this fight. That's a shame. That's a shame. And it's our fault because we vote these people in. We vote these people in. You know, and once again, that goes back to the power. We have power. We have power to know who we want to vote in. To who's going to do right by us. You know, because at the end of the day, the community didn't want the black and brown in here. I'm pretty sure they protest all these things being built up, you know, around their community because it was all car dealerships. And they protest that. Well, guess what? You should have protested to make sure there was some safety and some awareness that when people moved in here, it is crazy. You only had, if I didn't advocate for 7 more seconds, everybody that crossed Scott Street is kind of running. You know, I just went back this month and I went to the drop. He gave his wrong. He didn't even give his right ID address. He gave them Florida when he'd been moved here in March. So he couldn't use that ID to go vote. So how was he able to use that ID to say that's where he lived at? So he lied there. They didn't even put that two and two together. So what I did was I went to his his area where they said where we found out the right address is, and I videotaped from his house all the way to where he claimed he went to the gas station and came back around. It was disturbing. Because how come the cops didn't do that? You know, they said he was going 45. He was supposed to go 40. The speed limit was 40 before he hit my daughter. That 45 was after. So who's investigating what? You know, and they supposed to get a pass. They supposed to get a pass because they got a badge. They don't get no pass. They don't get a pass from me. They ain't get no pass, honey. I want every last one of them held accountable, and the EMTs. I just went to Grady. I found out who the EMT for Grady. Grady tried to tell me it wasn't Grady. Here it was Grady. So y'all gonna have to be held accountable for one. Why is there only one trauma center in Atlanta? There's way more people in Atlanta than there is here, and we have more than one trauma center. So you're forcing everybody to go to one trauma center? That's crazy. That has to be fixed. And the knowledge and the education is not in the Black and brown community. It's just not. It's not. They don't even understand how important it is to have more than one trauma center. They don't understand it, and they never will understand it until it happens to them. That's the sad thing about our Black and brown people. You know, everybody worry about Diddy. I care less about Diddy. I'm worried about people waving across the street freely to get to work and make a living, because that's what my child was doing. She was going to make a living and pay taxes in that community that don't give a damn about my child.
Wow.
You know?
Harsh reality we all do, right? While we here, like we pay. I know we said that on the show before. You know, we actually literally pay to be brutalized, or we pay to get disrespected. It's not like other communities when they come here, they get treated as if they were from here. Then those of us that are from here, because of the skin color we wear, we have to be treated less than a citizen. I wanted to ask you something real quick so we can, you know, furthermore, let's talk a little bit about your daughter. Like, how, you know, let's talk about her as a person, right? So I know you said that she was, you know, into traveling and stuff like that. So what other things was she into? Like, you know, let's talk a little bit about her as a person.
Okay. So Quenisha was 32 years old. And I'm sorry, 31 when she passed. I apologize. 31. She's 32 now. So Quenisha was the oldest out of five siblings and step kids. So family ordinated, kept track of her finances, never caught off of work. Very responsible, very independent, very goal driven, caring, kind, long friendships, easy to get along with. Like I said, she was only there for a year and a half, and you would have thought she was there more than that because she has put the trust into her coworkers where they knew something was wrong when she didn't show up. So she's punctual, you know. She loved her nieces. She had no children, so he took that away from us. So she loved her nieces and nephews. So she was organized. She was just a loving, funny, very funny young woman. And what I would say is she was all that before she left to come to Atlanta. But when she came to Atlanta, she soared even more. She stood in her womanhood in Atlanta. I swear she did. She was ready for her next chapter. She was ready to buy a home. And she was feeling just great about herself. You could see the confidence of, I am Quenisha Lachey Ball. She felt that. You know, I could see it in her 31 when her birthday was on. And I said, my baby is shining. And she's confident her about herself, and she's not going to let nobody devalue her.
Right. That's dope.
That's dope. Where she's at. That's the kind of young lady she was. And you know what? And I'm not going to let nobody do that.
Right.
I'm not going to let nobody do that. I struggled too much myself doing that, fighting for value. My daughter don't have to do that because she got her mom that's going to make sure no one's going to devalue her life.
Right.
While she's on the earth or while she's in that grave, no one's going to devalue my daughter. And I mean that. And I stand on that.
Yeah.
Her life had value. And she knew it. And that's okay to know that, right? It's okay to be in your blackness and love your skin. I wish I had that. I wish I had that within me when I was at that age. I didn't have that. So that's, you shine, you feel good as a mom when you see your child do way better than you did. You know, all my children, you shine. And she was that one that just shined, you know, and you could look up to her because she always knew, you know, she always had things in plan, things in line, you know, and that's what hurts. That's what hurts the most is that you never would have thought to get that phone call about that one, because you may not call that one as much because you know they're good. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I hurt at. And my guilt is because my daughter was so independent that I didn't talk to her every day because I didn't have to worry about her. I knew she was good. And that don't mean I didn't love my baby. I love my baby to death, but we both worked a lot. So, you know, we had the way we connected. So when that call came, it just was like, whew, no, that can't be. this isn't right. But now I have a path to walk for my child to help save other people's families not to go through that. You know, this is my new journey to fight. You know, this is something that I didn't think I had to do, but now I have to, because I'm a parent. I'm a parent. I'm a mother and a father, actually. So I have to stand strong for her. Even though I did that when she was on this earth, that don't mean I need to stop, right?
Right.
And I'm not, you know, because her legacy is beautiful. You know, there's nothing bad. You get, my daughter don't have no record, but the driver did.
Right.
You know, so we got to fix these laws. We got to fix these laws because a lot of people think the gun industry is number one. It's actually the car industry.
The car industry. They say more people die in a vehicle than they do in a plane or any other.
And if you ever notice, when you're watching a football game, and I never noticed this, or any kind of sport that's coming on, but mainly football. You see they're advertising cars, if you never notice that. And then you're always going to see Allstate, State Farms, Geico. You're going to see all that. They're advertising. How about you put the victim's parents on there, or someone's loved one who got killed from, you know, an accident, car violence or vehicle violence. Won't you put reality up on TV on those insurance companies so people can see this is the reality?
Right. No, they won't do that because
they won't do that. It's going to mess with their money.
Terrible. Yeah, they got to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is that bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So look, I was gonna ask you, Meek, because we was talking about this earlier, which is really important. When we grow up, we taught how to cross the street, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that we taught, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you grew up in Connecticut, right, Tamika? You grew up in Connecticut, so it's the same. It's the same. Mm-hmm. In Jersey, it's the same thing in PA. Yo, listen, we are taught how to cross the street. So, Meek, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you remember as far as your teachings on, you know, what you had to do as far as like how you were supposed to walk up and down the street?
It was, first of all, look both ways. That was number one. You're going to look like, even on a one-way street, I'm looking both ways because you just don't know.
Yeah.
People be driving crazy. So, yes, looking at left and right, making sure, seeing how everything's looking. If I'm walking on a street with no sidewalks, I'm walking on the side. The cars are coming towards me, so I can see them. They're not coming behind me, so I can't, you know, I got to keep looking behind. No, I'm going to walk on the side where they're coming towards me so I know when I have to move over. Those were the two big things, because definitely streets with no sidewalks were huge around. But I walked everywhere as a teenager. Mm-hmm. I walked all around my town, you know, so that and any time of day, it could be nighttime, daytime. So making sure I know which side of the road I need to be on. Don't go down the darker roads, not find a detour, find another route to get there. You have to look out because they're not looking out for us. Like that was how I felt growing up, was you got to be careful because them people in the cars, they ain't worried about you. Like, so you got to watch them. You got to be on alert at all times. So I'm glad we didn't have cell phones back then. I'm glad we didn't have that kind of distraction, because we were aware, you know, like we had no choice.
Exactly.
You're going to be looking.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the most important part takeaway that I want to take away from all the people who are suffering from pedestrian based, you know, situations, man, because I don't get how automatically the pedestrian is made to seem like they're at fault when things like that happen. Now, if a person was drunk driving or something like that, and I can see that, but when it's not basically alcohol involved, if a person is neglectful of a light, of a stop sign, or trying to run the yellow, you know, like there are people out here who just will take the extra chance. And sometimes taking that extra chance will wind them up doing something like what happened with, you know, with you, Courtney. Like, we don't know exactly what the motive was behind the guy. All we know is that, you know, hit and run is a decision. You know, I don't know if you said to yourself, I'm going to hit this person. I'm not saying that. But leaving the scene, that's a decision. You know what I mean? Because at one point, you hit somebody, the first thing you think, oh my God, let me try to save him. You want to try to figure it out because, like, yo, listen, I didn't mean that, yo. Let me just tell you, this is what happened. I'll tell whatever I need to tell, but I'll try to save you. I'm going to call 911 or whatever I'm going to do. I ain't going to drive six blocks away. And these are city blocks, too, based on what you described, because I had an opportunity to witness the body cam footage. Not all of it, just one piece of it that you shared with me. And just from the body cam footage, this was like, I don't know, it was like at least six-lane highway. I mean, well, not like a highway, but more like a parkway, like a freeway. Not even like a freeway. It was like it's just one of those type of big city streets in Georgia, because it was mad businesses where people eat at. It wasn't like it was just like a part of where it's just busy at, or industrial part. No, it was like a shopping. It had Tropical Smoothie. It had restaurants right there. So technically, it's an area where, you know, people are probably walking. Because there were food places in the body cam show. It was long. It was wild. It was it was. It wasn't no little narrow, just a regular four-lane or two-lane highway. No, this was, street or whatever. This was like.
So you know somebody who gets to that intersection is going to pay attention when they're crossing.
Pay attention.
So, like, it's not one of them simple two-lane streets where you're like, you know, you might be a little more careless. Like, that shows right there. Like, nobody's just.
Do either one of y'all know where Scott Street is?
I don't.
Well, no, listen, I don't know it by name or nothing. I've been to Atlanta a bunch of times. I can't necessarily say that I can remember the name or not to know that. But no, I'm going to say that. No. But
well, he said on the body cam, what he did was he said the first thing he said was my daughter was up there at the crosswalk. He said it. He literally said it. But he said, the light was green because I seen the light green all the way down there. So that's why I wanted to go back and show people how far that green was up. So you was watching the light. You was watching the light. You said it as plain as day. So, you know, from when I was telling you I had got contact with the Australians, and I found out, I actually inboxed them. This is before the body cam. I inboxed them because I'm thinking he stayed there and were there ace of my daughter holding her hand because off of what this officer's telling me. So I asked him, I said, can you just tell me, you know, I just want to know, did my daughter say anything? Did she call out for her mom? Like, I just wanted to know, you know, like, if it was an accident, you should be willing to give me some information. You know what I mean? So, you know, he went and got in touch with my lawyer. And so, told my lawyer I was harassing him. I said, what? I said, F you and him. Because what I said to him, clearly, it's not what I really wanted to say to him. You know what I mean? But I was being respectful, even though you killed my child. You know what I mean? You killed my child. I could have said some stuff I didn't say. So, but God had me the whole time, me and my kids, you know what I mean? Because that body cam, I don't even think I was supposed to have those body cams, but somehow God put it in her hand. Because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have known none of this. Absolutely none of this, because they were blaming my daughter. They said my daughter darted out in traffic. She's not, no, come on here. What we said about kids being, you know, we were younger and we was growing up. Well, my kids, I had my kids young. So I had five. And it took me back to what y'all talking now is when people would see me and my kids, they would call us, me, the little ducklings behind her, because they all would be behind me. Right. They all would be behind me, and we would be walking football practice. You know what I'm saying? Softball practice. Right. You know, we didn't have no car. You know, my kids knew to hold each other's hand and look out for each other. So this is what they must have thought that I knew my child. This is why I knew what they tried to tell me happened. I didn't believe it from the door. And they did no investigation. Even though those businesses are on that side, there was a gated community right here. It was like right on the other side. They never questioned them.
Gotcha.
You know, so and they didn't do no press conference. How my daughter's story got covered, it's called Decaturish. He did a story on my daughter, and her manager seen it and tagged me into it. So I have a relationship for him. He follows Quinish's case. But the mainstream media, oh no. Oh no. That lady who did CPR on my lady, why wouldn't I want to meet her? She could tell me if my daughter had a pulse. Yeah. They whisper on the camera, on the body cam, they say, she got a light pulse. What I mean, my baby might be, you can save her, get her to the hospital. They're on there talking about, the doctors wanted us to bring her, but I don't know, we wanted to call her minutes ago. Who are you? You are not God.
Wow.
Who are you? You're not a doctor. Like, what? How can you call my daughter and she got a pulse? You are not, that's not for you to do, because the doctors are telling you to bring her. I don't care if she had her legs. I didn't even know my child was dismembered until this body cam. Because the funeral director really saved us. And he really saved us from a lot of things. I found out on the body cam, my child was dismembered. So, but at the end of the day, the doctors must have felt they was going to be able to take care of my baby somehow, some way. They was going to try to save her. Because that was their duty, you know, but they just nonchalant, and that was just them. And you think you're going to have a job when I get done? No, you can't do that to somebody else's child. They all should have been fired from the door. All of them fired right there. Boom. Everybody gone. You should have been gone, because we don't need people like this on the road. You know, you're giving EMTs is going out here doing their job 100%. You're giving them a bad rap. You're giving police who is out there who do care. You're making them look bad. And well, I can say they make themselves look bad, because they stand together as a group. You know, police, regardless if they bad or not, they gonna still stand beside them. Exactly. You know, they gonna still stand beside them. It's up to us to stand against each other. You know, stand beside each other. To take a stand of what's right. Nothing was right on that body cam. You just seen a little bit of body cam. You didn't even see it all. And you could tell that it was wrong. And it's worse.
And that one I saw was the one that from the person who wasn't. It looked like they got there last or whatever. Like they wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the other one where the other cops that was there was actually around the body and stuff like that.
Yes.
You know, like that. And just
it's horrible.
It's just too much laughing. Like
that. Yes, they laugh. They laugh the whole, I'm gonna be honest with you, they laughed the whole time. They laughed the whole, I didn't feel like there was nothing funny on my child is fighting for her life. You know, and for them to go over to my daughter's body in the ambulance and say, it was just disgusting. It was just disgusting because, for one, I was Quinisha Lachey. I'm gonna keep saying her name, Quinisha Lachey Ball, because she mattered. I'm her protector. I couldn't even protect my child from her getting hit, but I couldn't even protect her at that time of her being disvalued. But I'm a protector now. I'm gonna protect her now. I'm gonna protect her now because you—that's not what you're gonna do to my child. You're not gonna do that. She was on this earth 31 years, and she enjoyed her life. She valued her life. She valued her family. She valued her coworkers. She valued going to work every day, making a living for her own self. They even had her homeless. Oh, is she homeless? What do that matter? My baby was suffering. You know, she was suffering, and I think that's so wrong that they did my child like that, and did Brittany like that. Brittany Glover, you know, there's many more Quenisha Lachey Balls and Brittany Glovers and knew it. There's more of them. The parents just don't know. You know, because you know a lot of people, they don't want to say nothing to the police.
Right.
They gotta speak up, or let me just be silent. Let me be silent because I don't want no problems. You know, I don't want no problems. Well, I'm here to get good trouble about mines. And that is the honest to God truth. I ain't no powerhouse, but my voice is going to get some good trouble, and my 2 feet is going to get some good trouble about my child. Yeah. You know, yeah, she got 2 cameras in 7 seconds, but that still ain't going to stop me. Because my child ain't here to walk across that street and push that button to cross that street for 7 more seconds. Because he killed her. So.
No, you're doing exactly what any parent should do, and what any parent that we would expect would do. Now, I do understand where you're coming from about the thing that most won't. They don't know because they won't question. They'll just go based upon it. You know, like, oh, but when we know better, you know, like we know better. Like I said, when it comes down to certain things, that's the thing about people when we say you got the right one. It's the wrong one, really, but you got the right one because technically you got to understand just because we all look alike don't mean that we all are from the same walk of life. Some of us had different experiences growing up, and we were taught certain things. Just like your daughter, like I wanted to be. It's just a thing because even with me, like whenever I talk to people who grew up in the South, they grew up riding motorcycles and four wheelers and all other kind of things like that. They grew up doing things and were taught things, fishing and stuff like that. That they were taught things, hunting or whatever. They were taught certain things that we wasn't. We were taught other ways to survive, which was about making sure if you're walking with headphones, only have one headphone on, you know, making sure you pay attention, and crossing the street was a thing because the way that our city was set up, people will be running from the police at any given time. They will do, like, it's just things that happen, and you always got to be prepared and pay attention. So it's just different things that we are all taught growing up. And one of those things is that, and they couldn't, that's why they didn't know that when they did, whenever they gave you those stories, they just didn't know. Yo, listen, hold on. Yo, my daughter was from Pennsylvania. Like, no, hold on. We grew up this way. Now, I taught them about how to make sure that this is what they do. It don't matter. Like, they're not going to never dart out. And you mean to tell me out of 31 years, this is the one time she's going to dart out? She's going to dart out 31
Hello?
Years.
Hello?
She don't know how to cross the street in 31 years.
That day she forgot, apparently.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And she had plans on going to Missouri in December, and she was coming back home to see me in February. So she had plans. And you're right, it is. I think it's different the way where you live at, how people think. I agree with that 100%. And I didn't get it until I traveled. Me and my family, two of my girlfriends traveled back. I've been back and forth to Atlanta since this happened. I actually walked into the DeKalb County police station the beginning of the month, and they gave me, I wanted to know where the report was for the internal affairs. So they gave me a half report, and they told me I had to go pay $125 for the rest of the report. You know, it's all, once again, profit over people. So I get an email the other day from one of the Turner affairs, and he sends me the same thing. What? You giving me something that I just paid for? So I emailed him back. What, y'all not on the same page here? And this is why this happened. And this is why people keep getting away with stuff, because y'all are not on the same page. So he called me and he's like, well, who gave you that? I don't know. You got cameras in the, you is the, why am I investigating for you? Why am I investigating for you? I had to come all the way down here to get answers. You know what I mean? So I come all the way down here to support the calm. It's called Calm the Gator, Decatur-ish. And a couple people got killed in this area. It's maybe 20 minutes from where Quenisha got killed. So it's probably Caucasian, you know, but I didn't care. It was a 16-year-old. I will support them. I supported them back in November. We have to get some kind of change here. So I went down this time and it was a listening session. The lady from Atlanta Propel was there, who I had communicated before, because I had to tell her they wanted to keep sharing my daughter's story, but you want to put a donation up under her. We ain't doing that. My daughter's not up for auction here. You know, ain't no, don't take that donation from up under my daughter's story in her picture. And how about you ask how my day was doing? How about you ask, is there any resources you need for coming down here to support a community that I'm not from, or my daughter can't walk in from? None of that. So when I got there, she didn't even speak. She didn't even speak. So what I got out of this trip is, I don't know if they thought I was going to be their mouthpiece, but they didn't even ask me, did I get home safe? Did you and your family get home safe? Is there anything that we may can help you? You need anywhere to stay? You know, there wasn't no concern. So if there wasn't no concern for me, and who lost a child, you know, or Brittany's mom, you know, that were traveling back and forth, because they even mentioned, you coming all the way down here? Why wouldn't I? I'm trying to help the cause, you know? So right. Y'all knew I was coming, you know, and y'all couldn't even say, did you make it home yet? That's the most thoughtful thing. You know, sometimes it just takes that to say someone cares, right? So right. For me coming back home, when I came back home, I was very, very, very in a dark space to see that no one cares.
Yeah.
But the impact families do.
The impact,
you know, they care because it happened to them. But it's just such a dismissive thing to talk about to people when you say, yeah, my daughter got killed. You know, she got hit, ran over. It's like, oh, that's a shame. You know, there's no like, we need to get in there and we need to do these laws and we need to change this to hold people accountable for if they hit somebody, if they ain't trying to arrest them, they got to have a fine. They got to do some kind of community service. They got to work. There's none of that. There's none of that.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm not here for no pity party. I'm not here for that. I'm here for justice for Quenisha Lachey Ball, Brittany Glover, any other pedestrian that need that. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm not here for no pity party. I'm here to be in your face.
I wanted to say this too, because they keep finding ways to separate people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said earlier, you didn't, we mentioned race in a lot of different aspects of our life, mm-hmm. because we have to deal with that, man. Like, that's just something that we have to deal with. Like, we, as much as people want to say racism is not affecting us, I mean, I guess it depends on it, you know, what skin color you wear, depending on what you can say and what you can't say, right? Mm-hmm. What your surroundings are and who you associate with will give you, you know, just whatever you feel like is okay for you to say. But I'm looking at it from a different standpoint. A lot of times, depending on your demographic based on economics, they don't give a damn about you no matter what your skin color is. Let's just be real. You know, poor whites, or not even poor whites, if you call yourself a middle class white, you're treated just as much as the regular black and brown people that are facing. They don't care about y'all either.
I agree.
And like you said, you came down and stood with a white family or Caucasian family or whatever we want to say, to be politically correct, and because of what happened with their child, because that's the thing. One thing about us as a people, you know, we give ourselves away. And I think it's just the spirit in us, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you could go from being a people who have been marginalized. We've been, you know, attacked. We've been brutalized. We've been separated. We've been degraded. We've been raped. We've been everything that you can think of. We've happened to been that. And then yet and still, we still walk around with this sense of community some type of way. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as, you know, we hurt ourselves when it comes mm-hmm. to black on black scenarios, like what happened with your daughter, because mm-hmm. the way that he was telling the story, you could tell that he just, he was, yeah, I was looking, it was just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the way that they questioned him, it was terrible. And it was just a lot going on with that. Mm-hmm. But technically, we do a lot to harm ourselves in our community as well, too. So I get why they look at us a certain way. But the one thing that I always like to tell people, for those of y'all that are watching, if y'all are watching this on YouTube, please make sure y'all like, make sure y'all subscribe or whatever so y'all can be notified, because we got to make sure that these impacted families kind of be able to motivate and help each other. And that's where it's going to get the traction and the momentum that it needs, because these laws that they're fighting, even though you're fighting into from another state in Georgia, these things are happening to people in all the southern states. Like you said, the mm-hmm. only difference is people are just taking what they're being given and not asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that they have a right to ask questions. They don't mm-hmm. know that they certain things to get body cam footage. They don't know that they can subpoena or do whatever they can or submit motions and stuff to get traffic cam footages and stuff like that, mm-hmm. because that's technically the citizens pay for that. It comes out of taxpayers' dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just certain things that people don't know that they can even ask for. What's that old saying? A closed mouth don't get fed? And yeah. it's a dumb question.
Mm-hmm.
But how mm-hmm. many of us are walking around asking questions? The one thing about it is we stop being curious. Whenever they told us to be an adult, we stop using our imagination. Our imagination made us ask questions. Mm-hmm. It made us curious enough to figure out. Now, they'll ask questions when it comes down to something that don't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They ask questions when it comes down to something that got to do with being upset about something personal.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to really getting to the bottom of things that can help affect somebody else, people don't want to ask no questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what sucks when it comes to our community. We have to change that.
Yes.
We have to change that. We can't walk around, you know, expecting people to help us only when something happened to us, but we're not going to help nobody else when it ain't happening to us. We got to change that narrative, yo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that even the people that's watching tonight, I'm hoping that all the people that watch the playback, I'm hoping that the people that continue to watch as we help these impacted families on the platform, I'm hoping that y'all all take into consideration that not only could it happen to you, right, but that it can happen to someone close to you as well. Remember, sometimes things don't have to happen directly to you to affect you. It can happen in a way mm-hmm. where have to think 3 or 4 times. Like, I know every time that I have to have a conversation with an impacted family, I have to kiss my son 1,000,001 times, because these people don't get a chance to do that.
And I agree with that. And I will say, like, in like a couple months before we lost Clinicia, my cousin lost her son. He was killed, and she didn't know how to use her voice at that time because she was in shock. She was hurt. You know what I mean? Like, she was hurt. But she helps through the justice of Clinicia. And just the other day, she said to me, you know, I went to the police station. You know, and she said, I wouldn't have been able to do that watching you fight for justice for Clinicia. So wow. You never know who's looking at you.
Facts.
You never know who's looking at you. You know, you never knew. Like, like you said, it takes one person. And that's why I always tell my children, we just need one person. You know who that one person was? Ashley McKenzie. She connected to the Impact family. It was a connection. It's a connection. So Valerie connected me to Ashley. And here we are now. You know, so we're that link. That link. That has so much power. And I wish a lot of people will know and put that trust in them to know they are so powerful.
Yeah.
They are so powerful to make change. Don't let nobody silence your voice. You just can't. Our voice, he gave us a voice. You know, he gave us a voice, and we have to use that. We don't have to be disrespectful, you know, we don't have to be that because they're disrespectful to us, you know, but you can use your voice in so many ways. It doesn't have, you can support with your voice, you know, you don't have to support somebody financially all the time. It could just be by the simplest things to make a person's day go well, to make them embody strength in theirself.
Exactly.
To fight for their child.
Exactly. Motivation. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. We all need it. We all mm-hmm. need it at times. You know what I'm saying? We all need somebody at times to, you know, put a little battery in our back to make sure that we keep going, whether positive, especially when it comes to something positive. Now, you know, we can get a positive out of a negative, right? You know, mm-hmm. we can get that. But yes. even in that case, we want to make sure that people stay motivated. And that's why I love the direction of the platform, because like I said, when these parents are asleep, or when they're in their quiet place, or when they're in their place that they have to break down, because some of you moms, mm-hmm. like, think about it. There has to be times when, you know, you want to take your cape off. You know, Superman mm-hmm. had to take his cape off every now and then. You know, sometimes you want to mm-hmm. take your cape off and you break down. You get in those moments where you have to do it privately, because mm-hmm. publicly you want to make sure that people keep understanding that you are lying out here for your kids. But every now and then we understand that sometimes you guys grieve, you mourn, you go through different emotions and by yourself sometimes. And then too, you know, like, you guys take, y'all fighting against a system where it's not fast, it's not instant. Mm-mm. It's definitely not going to happen overnight. The justice that you're seeking is going to take a little bit. It's going to take you really getting, you know, 10 toes down each and every day, mm-hmm. you know, taking a step towards that justice that you want. But it's going to get tough, and you need some people that even when you sleep, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's the power of the word like this, right? Where you could come mm-hmm. on, you could mm-hmm. tell your story. We clip it up, we put it out, and then those times where you may be sleeping at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we got somebody like you said in Australia. They 6 hours ahead. They gonna see the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the power of what I mean by getting you impacted families together all over, and making sure that everybody helps to promote and market exactly what they each other has going on, because you all mm-hmm. need that motivation, man. Like, look, I personally don't know what I would do if these situations happen to me. That's why I'm mm-hmm. so eager to help y'all mm-hmm. in any way that I can, because I don't know. Like, you know, I haven't talked to a dad yet, but I'm gonna be honest with y'all. And me as who I am, I don't know if I want to even sit up here and talk to people if that happened to me. I'd be so angry and wanting to go do mm-hmm. stuff that I ain't got no business doing. I don't know if I could do it like y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to find out, but I don't know. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, this is why it's like, yo, while it's not happening to you, support those people that it do happen to. Ashley said something. Shout out to her, Ashley McKenzie. She was on, and that's how me and you was connected. And mm-hmm. she said something on the show when she was on. She was like, yo, I was one of those parents, because I was making a point, you know. People do wait until it happened to them. And she was like, yo, I was one of those people. Right? Yeah, I'll see something happening on the news, and I'll just let it go, instead of just mm-hmm. reaching out to the person, maybe on Facebook, and just sending them a light little note like, hey, praying for you.
I think we've all been like that. I think, you know, and I actually called a parent. I actually, after it happened to my daughter, I actually called a parent and apologized to her for me not being there the way I wish I could have been there for her, you know, because life gets the life in, you know, you work right. and you know, and it's not on purpose, but I felt the duty to reach out to her, because it wasn't on purpose, but it was our only child that got killed in the car, and I felt her pain. And I just wanted to apologize to her, you know, and let her know I am here for her. But she understood, you know, she understood. And it's a journey that no one wished they can be on it. But you truly sometimes don't understand it until you go through it. That is a true statement, that it really is true. And it's not that you're being selfish. You just life. You know, life happened. You know, you're working, you're doing so many things that you can't go and try to be there for everything at that moment. It's tough.
No, it's tough.
It's tough.
You can't be everywhere. You can't be everywhere. You know what I
mean? It's tough. Because when it hit home, woo, honey, that's a train wreck that hit your heart. I wouldn't wish that even on the driver who killed my daughter. I wouldn't hope he never have to go through what I went through you know, because he has two children of his own, I wouldn't wish that on him. You know, what I wish him to do is get in jail and, you know, be accountable for what he did to my daughter. But I would not wish any kind of death on his children. I would never do that because it's the worst thing ever. Worst thing ever. And there's people has had worse things happen to their children than will happen to my child. But it's still all bad.
It's all
a numbing feeling. You know what I mean? You just, it's guilt. You know, because they're the protector, and you, and especially when you're doing it alone and you don't have a father, you know, there was two people to birth her. We should be both standing here fighting strong. So, you know, when an enemy or oppressor sees that, they know where to, you know, they cause divide on that. Oh,
yeah.
There ain't no dad there. Oh, we going to break her. We know how to break her down real quick. You know, they see that, they feed off of that. And that's what we got to know, the knowledge that that's what they'll do.
And that's why I say men are, we're worth more than whatever financial portion of life that we're supposed to provide. Like, let's, you know, we are told often how much we're not needed, you know, as men, because, you know, women now are independent. They make money. They get their own. They can pay for their own stuff. And then they don't realize is that, no, that's not, that's what society has made us out to be. They have dumbed us down to a dollar. But but trust me, there's a lot that comes with us standing beside you, behind y'all, you know, at times when y'all do need to be in the front. You see, and that's the part about history that they don't ever want to talk about when it comes down to it. Like, listen, there are plenty of times when, you know, your partner, when it comes down to a man, like, yes, you got to be in the front, but there's plenty of times when your partner has a purpose. Now, what happens when that happens? Sometimes you got to stand beside and behind them, you know, because that's the purpose of it. You know, whenever you look at a lion, I know a lot of people don't ever look at nature, but nature is the best explanation for the way life should go. Now, let's take lions for example. Now, we all know that the women are the hunters when it comes to the pride. We all know that it's always more than one woman in the pride too, right? But they always are hunters, and they always work together. But there's always that male lion where in the background. And what is he doing? He's protecting everything else that come around. There's nobody that's going to come around and take that food from the women. The women, he get to kill. He get to eat. The women, I mean, it's just the thing. We're there. The presence of us being there is enough that wards off people from trying to do extra things to the women. Now, that's another thing. Sometimes it's just the presence of being there. You don't have to say a word. You just got to be there. And just knowing that if something go down, this person going to go all the way out for this woman that you standing in front of talking to, even if she is the one that's more vocal. So listen, women, I know the comments are going to be crazy after this. We clip this up. I'm just telling y'all, dead ass, yo, y'all need us.
We do.
And listen, it's a lot of males that are not men. So I'm saying y'all need men. I'm gonna leave that there too, because you know that's another story too.
It's the masculine energy that we need. We need that masculine, that male presence with that masculine energy, because that's what wards off the threats and things like that. They have to command presence, and that's what we need standing with us.
And you know what? On that body cam, that's another thing that was disheartening. It was Black women. That was very disheartening to me. It's like
their team, their crew, their gang.
And they were getting ready to get hit. They said they're looking at the house. They're about to hit me. And they had on all black and yellow vests. Now, if they were gonna hit you and you got a uniform on and a yellow vest, was you darting in the street? What would be? But it was just disheartening. I said, not black woman on here. Trying to disvalue my daughter.
Yeah.
come on. Didn't have. That's what was just shocking to me. Like, y'all have no kind of integrity. None.
That video.
Y'all have no time to care. Like, this is what you represent your state. This is what you represent police work for. Because it was disgraceful. And like I said, there's slow justice.
But
if you need more people like you, because people don't understand the value of your voice, yo. They really don't know. Mm-hmm. They're so scared to share their story. They like to live in that shame of that guilt that they may feel, mm-hmm. or anything mm-hmm. like that. But they don't know. Just saying the words out loud, it's going to attract people, because somebody mm-hmm. else is going through that. Somebody else mm-hmm. might have been too afraid. Like you gave somebody inspiration to do something mm-hmm. that they couldn't do before. Mm-hmm. And it's that all you did was use your voice. All you did was speak up. And that's all it takes. It takes people to see you doing it and say, oh, wait, somebody else is doing this. Somebody else is going through this situation. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe I can do that. Maybe I should mm-hmm. reach out to them and see where they started. Your words are magic. All you got to do is say the words, put them out there into the universe, and those resources are going to come to you. And I'm praying for that justice for you guys, because
thank you.
I know they ain't going to hear the end of it until they get that justice. So they might as well just go ahead and lock him up.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
don't stop, and it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't stop until there is justice for this, because
mm-hmm.
it's mm-hmm. bullshit. It's
a lot. Yeah. I mean, and like you just said, it's bullshit. And I mean, there's no other way to put it. You just can't be the judge and the executioner of somebody else's life with no regard to, you know, what the consequences of that can be. You know, like, you can't do that, man. You can't. Life is not set up for that. You know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
you know, you may have done it, but we just can't lay down with these mm-hmm. type of situations. So this is what we want to do before we get out of here. We want you to let everyone know anything that you have coming up in regards, because we have another show coming up soon where we're going to have mm-hmm. all of the Impacted Moms on, and we're going to talk, because we're going to get some updates. We got some things going on. I got some people that I've been talking to in the background. We're going to do some things. Right. So we have that coming up. But I want you to tell anybody how they can get in contact with you. If they want to just, you know, drop you a nice little note, let you know that they're thinking about you. Or if you do have a GoFundMe, I don't know, whatever you have going on, I would like mm-hmm. you to let the audience and stuff know so they can know what to do and how they can support you.
Okay. So my name is Courtney Tompkins, and that's what's on Facebook. And Instagram. And right now I'm working on coming down to Atlanta for the Juneteenth parades with the Impact families, and also with Brittany Glover's mom, Valerie, because we will be like the first ones coming in on the pedestrian side.
Definitely.
You know, trying to bring more awareness about the pedestrians and what's happening, because just like we said, it's not being talked about. So we really want to get that platform on to bring awareness about how dangerous it is, and it has been becoming all around the world with pedestrian and cyclists, you know, too. So that's one of the goals in June. And then in October, not a lot of people are aware that it's pedestrian month in October. And that could be because breast cancer month is in October too. So that overshadows that a little bit, you know. So in October, I'm working with the commissioner, Michelle, me and Fawn Walker, Montgomery Walker, who's here in McKeesport. She has her own she advocates for Black families in the community. Okay. We're working with the commissioner because I wanted to do a walk, because I told her, you have nothing. I'm watching your newsletters, lady, and there's nothing here about pedestrians. You're still not bringing no awareness about that. So right. She's interested in doing a walk, you know, in October, and they're going to do
a proclamation
for Quenisha in October. So from the last trip here in March, I literally just told Fawn, I don't know if I want to do the walk in Atlanta. It made me fall back a little bit, because I do a walk here for Quenisha in September here in McKeesport, PA. So this will be her second annual walk, September 20th, 2024. And the first one was very, I do it on her birthday. It was very good for me and my children. And also it was an eye opener because there were so many people who was walking the trail that lost someone from car violence. So I believe doing this will help bring more awareness. And I just, I'm coming to Juneteenth to just bring more awareness, and more attention. And there's also a World Remembrance Day in November. I want that to be bigger because when I came all the way to Atlanta, there was 10 people there with 11 bags with tea lights in it of people who died in a 100 bags of tea lights in there. This is what the mayor's office down in Atlanta represented these people, or the innocent people who lost their life. They had 100 bags lined up with tea lights with 10 people there.
Wow.
So that's what I'm trying, if everybody's listening, to try. Those families should have been there. All 100 of them families should have been there in that park, and that park should have been filled to the T. News should have been there to bring awareness to the fact that there was a problem. They don't want nobody to know. You know, they don't want nobody to know that there's a problem because that means that's not bringing in business. It's taken away, you know, business. So that's what I have going on here. And me and Valerie, Brittany Glover's mom, just taking a stand and trying to bring awareness and arrest the driver. So, you know, if anybody could call the DeKalb County, I think her name is Chief Ramos. I'm waiting for her to give me the full report of the Attorney of Affairs, which they think they being sneaky because you only got 2 years to do anything. So that's coming up in November. So you're going to hold on to the report until then. You know, you think I'm dumb. Yeah, like, get out of here, lady. Give me that. So if someone, people can call her to, you know, get the release of that, the full report of that. And I'm waiting for the assessment of the road that my daughter was killed at. They're holding that back. Because you know why they holding that back. They know they was probably supposed to do more than they was supposed to do, and they didn't do it. So they're playing the game. We got to play the game with them.
Gotcha. So
that's what I'm doing going forward. Gotcha. You know, and supporting other families, impact families, because it's all together. It's bound together. You know. It's bound together. If you come here in this one neighborhood we live in, North Versailles, you know not to speed there because they're going to hop on you so quick. You're going to get a fine and you're going to go to jail. That's how they need to be down there. You need to have police presence. Because if there's police presence, I'm not going to be speeding. You know, I'm not going to be speeding because I ain't got no money to keep paying a $500 fine, and I'm not trying to be going to go in no DUI class, and I ain't trying to do all that. So let me make sure I'm aware when I'm driving down the road. So that's my goals. And if you don't, if you keep doing that, there needs some kind of law. They gotta have some kind of law to hold these people accountable, not just the cops, the drivers.
That's right.
You know, well, that's what I'm working for, and just standing with my impact families. You know, helping them.
Definitely. I'm with you, yo. They definitely gonna find you. All y'all that's watching and people that's watching the playback, please find her on Facebook. Her name is right there. She got it spelled nice and neat for y'all. Courtney Tompkins. Y'all hit her up personally. Y'all connect with her on any of the points that she made and try to get in on the support, because like I said, you know, if it happens to you, you would definitely want somebody, and these parents are people that's willing to fight for you, but you got to be willing to stand with them too. So please do what you can. Send them a little note, support them, let them know what's going on. If you happen to be in Atlanta on June 22nd, if I'm not mistaken, the Juneteenth parade is taking place in Atlanta. It is a music festival as well. So the Impact of Families have a float that they will be on. It's a huge thing, right, for all the families to come together that's been impacted by, you know, with the loss of a child in their family. And you know, everyone has been dealing with some things in the background too as well. We're actually trying to get justice, or, you know, for people to, you know, atone for what they did to these children. So yeah, y'all guys, if y'all in Atlanta, make sure y'all stop by, contact Courtney. She can connect you with the rest of the ladies that are, or the rest of the parents and groups that are impacted if you're there. So you guys can kind of meet them in person and do all, you know, just try to get some things going, all right? So, Meek, what you got going on coming up?
Well, you know, last week I was talking about I really want to get my life coaching really up and running. People been hitting me up. I don't know if they heard this, or I don't know what it's been, but it's been out there in the universe. Like I said, words have magic. I said it, and it's coming my way. Right. So I've been working with a couple of people this week, and just living in my purpose. I'm really trying to do what I'm meant to do. And I see the impact I can have on people when I work with them, and I see how they get to feel at the end of it. And that makes me feel, that fills my cup. So I know I need to really get into that.
Facts. Yeah. All right, yo, look, so y'all know what to do. Y'all follow me, y'all see her on everything. And if you are in the need of a life coach and things that come along with that, make sure y'all hit her up. She does journals. If you guys want to kind of keep up with everything that you have going on with the things that you're doing in your daily day, especially if it has something to do with your purpose, it's always a best thing to do to journal it. You can always look back on it. This will be what you use to get some things out of your head. That way you don't have to think about it. And you can just always go back to it and you have it there. So just be mindful of that. You know, it can always help to write things down.
And it's personalized for you, so you connect with it automatically. It's not something you bought in the store that everybody else got. It's yours.
That's right. It's for you. Only you.
Can you inbox me that information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we get off, we're going to talk in the background a little bit. So, yeah,
okay.
We're going to make that shake. And as far as me, y'all already know, follow me on all the platforms. Y'all know we stay working out here. We definitely are helping the impacted families. We are definitely lending the platform to those that have a need to tell a story. We are open for y'all, so to make sure that you guys hit us up, man, if you ever are in the need of that, okay? Because like I said, everyone has a story. Some people just don't think it's important. And I want you to know that every story is important. If it's something that you're dealing with and you know that other people are dealing with it, it's important to get it out. So contact me on sparkingconversation@gmail.com. Make sure y'all put the reason why you would like to be on the show in the subject line, because I'll be honest with y'all, I am not going to allow everything on the platform. Let's just be real. Certain things is just not my business to talk about. So we want to make sure that we be clear on that. So, you know, don't be funny. All right. Other than that, I definitely appreciate each and every person that jumped on tonight. If you are watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. Please hit the notification button, because, like I said, if you're here to support Courtney tonight, trust me, we got another bunch of impacted families that's going to be on. You guys, I want to hear their story. You want to find ways to connect, because we got to get this word out. This is election season. This is not the time to sit back. I'm telling y'all, this is the time. If you're going to use your voice, use it now, use it loud. Use it now, use it loud, and use it together. All right? Let's just stop being about yourself. We understand that things happen to you, but it's happening to other people, so let's do something about it, all right? This is the year to try to change something. Now, I don't know if it's going to be an election. I'm going to be honest with y'all. We know that. But just in the precedent of it supposed to be there, let's use this time to get these things out, all right? So without further ado, I want all of y'all to know that we appreciate y'all for jumping on tonight. As always, we are here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. And we're going to continue this movement, man. We're going to continue this movement helping these impacted families. So I am your boy, Rod One. This is Sparking Conversation. And we out of here. Don't forget, if you don't
believe
no problem, yo. Yeah. And if you don't believe in yourself out there, nobody else will. All right. Peace.